Welcome one and all to episode 407 of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor, and we are back, albeit a few weeks later, with the January 2025 albums review. Jeremy Weltman will be joining me for this episode, and I hope you guys enjoy.
I'm ready.
Let's do it!
All right, real quickly here, I do want to give a shout out to all of the patrons, and let's go here in oldest to newest. We have Stephen Saylor, Stephen Hoker, Jeremy Weltman, who is featured on this episode, Mike Jones, Brad Dahl of Yarg Metal, the Metal Dentist Gabriel Ruiz. We have Chris Vaglio from the Song Swap Showdown. We have Jose Ruiz. We have Metal Dan, Johan Edistrom. We have Ed Ferguson, Ed the Shred. We have Mr. Graphic Design, Anthony Mackey, who's created all of the great graphic designs that you see associated to the show here in 2025. We have Tony Espin. We have Chris Sinzak of Decibel Geek Podcast and Rockin' Pod will be happening shortly. We have Sean Richmond and we have Pascal Schumacher. All right. Thank you all of you guys for your support. And all of these fine folks are eligible for appearing on the next patron special. I still call them patron specials because the patrons are the ones that appear on screen when we do our voting and discussions. And in March, we're going to be talking about the 10 bands that we would nominate for our hard rock or metal Hall of Fame. Yes, I know there's a heavy metal Hall of Fame, but we're going to come up with a concept where it is the Signals from Mars Hall of Fame. I'm asking people to vote on the 10 basic foundation bands that started hard rock and metal. They laid the groundwork and we'll take it from there. This should be a cool yearly vote where we nominate bands every year and five bands get in. So, and there's no hidden agendas. There's no politics. There's nothing out there. It's just a bunch of hard rock and metal fans voting for bands that they love to talk about music that they love. That's at the end of the day why I do this. I love doing interviews, but I also love doing these types of conversations where I get to talk to you guys about different eras of hard rock and metal. In this case, for example, today, Jeremy and myself will be discussing releases from January 2025. I think it's vital. I think it's very important to continue to talk about new music because there's so many people out there. The discussion is rock is dead. New bands have no chance, blah, blah, blah. There's new bands putting out great new music. There are old bands that you know putting out great new music. And I always say this, it's not there to take over. If it does, if it takes over and it becomes your favorite album or your favorite song or something along those lines, well, that's just awesome. But if it's just an additional track to go in that playlist featuring one of your all-time favorite bands where you say, well, it's not my favorite song by the band, but wow, man, this will fit in nicely with the rest of their catalog, then that's great. I mean, that's what it's all about, I think. And if there's anything that you ever hear us discuss that you enjoy, support the bands by picking up the music. I know it gets harder and harder to do it every day, but if you can pick up a CD, if you can pick up vinyl, if you're a fan of vinyl or cassette, do that. Anyway, go to signalsfrommars.com for all your one-stop shopping. When it comes to this show, you can check out the merch, the YouTube, all the social media pages, all that great stuff that's associated to the show. I do thank you for being here today and for checking this episode out. And I totally skipped over this, but if you want to vote on the Signals from Mars Hall of Fame, send me your list. signalsfrommars@signalsfrommars.com. If not, if you frequently talk to me on any social media platform, send me whatever message you want regarding this. And I always tell people the same thing. Well, 10 bands I think will be easy. This isn't the same as if we're talking about different genres or whatnot. But anyway, last point. Yes, I know I released the video version of this a few weeks ago. I haven't been able to release this sooner. Been working on the Rockin' Pod stuff, been working on a lot of other stuff as well. So I do apologize for that. But the episode is up there now. As you're listening to this, it is live. It is there for your audio enjoyment. So I do hope you enjoy the show. Thanks again for listening. Welcome all to the latest episode of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor, and joining me is Jeremy. Jeremy, how are you?
Yeah, really good, Victor. Thanks. Been listening to actually a lot of Black Sabbath this week. Maybe we'll get onto that a little bit later. How are you doing?
Perhaps. I'm doing good. A lot of things going on in the world of hard rock and metal, and a lot of stuff for us to definitely chat about. Let's see here. Trying out some new things today, trying out some new things with the chat, and we'll see if anyone joins us, see if we could try some of these new features out. I did mention it in Patreon. I did mention this during the latest episode that I uploaded today with Eric Kluber, the audio version. For those that are still doubting about joining our Patreon, I've made 5,270 posts on Patreon.
Wow. That's a lot.
Since the start. So, okay. So apparently, let's see here. Do I need to keep the overlay open?
There's Brad. Brad's already in.
Brad. Just type in the chat. Let's see. Hello, Brad. Interesting. So, yeah. Three people are in the chat, it says, me included. And hey, there's Tony Espin. How are you, Tony? Hope you're doing great. And let's see, why isn't this showing up?
This is live, folks.
This is live. We are testing things out on the fly here.
It's all happening live. I'll have to do a sing and dance act in a minute just to keep everyone entertained.
All right. Anyway, so this isn't working. So I will try this out further. This is a third-party plugin which work some interesting content into what we do with the live stream. Doesn't seem to be working at the moment, but we will continue on. So anyway, Jeremy and myself, we are back for another monthly installment of our albums of the month review. We are reviewing January of 2025 in this case, And there were a lot of stellar albums to be released. Some weeks are better than others, as Jeremy and I were just discussing off air. But yeah, so January 3rd is officially the first week that things were released. And there was really nothing to discuss.
I mean, there were a few albums released, but, well, we tried a few, didn't we? But nothing we'd recommend, I'd say.
Yeah, unfortunately, and listen, there's a lot of death metal out there that comes out on a weekly basis. Some stuff some of you may be interested in, some of you may not. So who knows? So we try our best to cover everything that we're into. And we get it. We don't get around to absolutely everything, but I do think that we do a fair job with what we do. So anyway, January 10th, we had releases from Tremonti. That's Mark Tremonti of Alter Bridge and Creed. He released The End Will Show Us How, The Halo Effect, March of the Unheard, Stick to Your Guns, Keep Planting Flowers, Moon Wizard with Sirens, EPs from XDO, reissues from two from Nine Treasures, one from Caven, one from Tesseract, and a live album from Magnum, which is live at KK Steel Mill, which is KK Downing's place. Is that still his place or did he sell it?
Sorry, I didn't quite catch what you said. Is it still his place?
Yeah, or did he sell it?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not entirely certain of that, but I've got a feeling he still owns it. Yeah.
Okay. I thought he had gotten into some financial trouble and maybe no longer had it.
I think the financial trouble was a little bit before that, and he sold his golf course and various things that, you know, he was doing at the time. I think this was the new thing that he got into after that.
Okay, I thought this was part of the golf course, but anyway.
All right.
Does not matter.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so just so you guys know, and for Brad, Tony, even yourself, Jeremy, the question that should have popped up was, which city or country did you attend your first rock show?
Oh, first rock show. Well, for me, it was definitely in the UK, and the city was Chester.
Okay. Do you remember the show?
Yeah, I do. The show was Chevy, Limelight, and Alien, a triple bill. At a place okay. called Northgate Arena. And it was during the sort of new album era.
Okay. Brad is asking how far Steel Mill is from you, Jeremy.
How far is the Steel Mill? Yeah, well, so the Steel Mill's in Wolverhampton, and I'm in Northwich in Cheshire. So I'm estimating here, we're looking at around sort of, 40 miles, 45 miles at most. That sort of distance, not too far. You'd probably be there within an hour.
Okay. Okay. Cool. That's funny. All right. Anyway. So out of these, Jeremy, you listen to quite a few of these albums.
Yeah, I listened to a few. I mean, it's a fairly lean start to the month, I suppose, but... you know, we go from none in week one to at least two studio albums in the second week for me, and the live release, which I'll mention in a minute. I mean, the first one I listened to was The End Will Show Us How, the Tremonti album. You know, I've got a sort of vague recollection of actually seeing this band live at Down Low Festival. It was quite, you know, a number of years ago. May have been sort of after they were formed, because I think they formed around 2011 or 2010 or something, so it's probably not long after that. I mean, I have to admit, though, it's not my normal sort of go-to style of hard rock and metal. It's not my favourite. I find it a little bit dreary. it's probably the, you know, the tuning of the songs to me as much as the style. But I do recognize that, you know, there's some really serious musicianship and songwriting ability on the on this kind of record. As you might expect, it reminds me a lot of Alter Bridge. And I think, it, you know, this sort of music does push the boundaries a little bit at times as well. So I like that feature of it. You know, the guitars and vocals, they do sound great on it, it must be said. And it's very well mixed and produced as well. So, you know, I'll give it thumbs up for that. I guess it might be a bit of a grower, but it doesn't quite hit the spot for me. It's not, you know, not my favourite type of music, but I get it if you like Tremonti and fans of the band will go out and listen to it. And, you know, I get that. I moved on to Magnum. I listened to live at KK Steel Mill. This was actually the last show they played last year before, as you know, guitarist and songwriter extraordinaire Tony Clarkin unfortunately passed away. So for Magnum fans like me, you know, it was a real special release, really. It was a precursor as well to actually seeing the band, the rest of the band as they are. A few, you know, I only saw them a few weeks ago in Manchester. They arranged sort of 5 dates as a tribute to Clarkin. I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed this album as well. You know, there's nothing much to say about the album, really. It's a, you know, it's a real sort of mix of the true classics of the 1980s heyday and what I would say are fairly stodgy new songs. You know, some of them, you know, they're not so great, I think, as compared to the, you know, the stuff they used to do. And but anyway, I like to remember them as they were, and I think they were a great band in the day. So my pick this week might surprise you a little bit, Victor. I'm going to opt for Sirens by Moon Wizard. Okay. This is a self-produced album by a stoner doom band from Salt Lake City, Utah. Now, wow. I cannot think of anyone I've ever known who's ever lived in Utah. Can you, Victor?
No. Who do we know that lives in that used to live in Utah?
Yeah, I can't think of anyone. So I'm sure nobody actually lives there or has ever lived there. But like the Swedish band Witch, this group has a female singer. And I can, it kind of adds a bit of freshness into the sort of doom genre for me as well. You know, it's not a spectacular album, and it's and I wouldn't say it's entirely unique either. But, you know, there are sort of, and, you know, it's sort of a lot of similarities to other bands in there, which we, you know, we get from time to time with various stuff. I feel it's got a bit of a slowed down Sanhedrin feel to it, you know, another sort of great US act, which I like. And, you know, there's a little bit of blues pills in there as well, that sort of type of sound, a little bit. And, you know, there's a lot of sort of early Iommi-esque guitars in there, a little bit of early guitar drawl from the Cult, that sort of thing. So, you know, you kind of get what I'm talking about. The really good song called Luminaire. And, you know, as it went on, I sort of realized there really, you know, there weren't a lot of fillers on this album. I really started to dig it a lot. And so, yeah, I'm going to choose that one as my album of the week.
Okay, cool. Tony, you said you mentioned that your first show was in Barcelona. Do you remember who played at that show? Brad has responded that his first rock show was Long Beach Sports Arena with BOC, Kansas, and Ted Nugent. Ooh, Kansas, obviously, the greatest American rock band of all time. Brad is also saying Utah where wizards are wizards and sheep are nervous. Okay, now we need to check these guys out. So I wonder if I switch back to the overlay here. Okay. So Tony's first show was Barón Rojo with Santa opening. Free show. Cool. So coincidentally, my first show was not a rock show, and it was a free show, and it did involve the Gypsy Kings with two other pop acts. It was at the Queens County Fair back in 86-ish, something like that, I guess. First rock show. I mean, I saw bands here in Spain. I wouldn't call them. I mean, they were probably rock infused, but maybe kind of rockabilly-ish, but not so much straight up hard rock or anything like that. First thing was probably Sacred Reich with Souls at Zero and Crowbar, actually. Was it Souls at Zero and Crowbar? Man, I'm not remembering.
Sounds a good show.
Wow, this sucks. My memory sucks. And I don't remember. This is frustrating. Anyway. But yeah, that was at the legendary Studio One, or infamous Studio One in Newark, New Jersey. Let's see. So, so this is funny. It says, one word, what emotion does heavy metal evoke for you, Brad? Let's see. This is the question.
Good question.
All right. So you picked Moon Wizard. For me, for January 10th. Yeah, I probably need more than that. I think, and I don't want to get into conspiracy theories, but I think I need to reset the clock and I won't say it. Anyway, so January 10th, I listened to the Tremonti, spot on. I mean, his solo stuff seemed to be heavier than what he had done with Alter Bridge. But this really, I mean, the first two singles are all right. But then after that, I mean, the rest of the album is just kind of samey for me. Stick to Your Guns, Keep Planting Flowers, a little of everything, a little hardcore, a little thrash, a lot of screaming, some cool melodies here and there. It's not a bad album, but I'm going to go with The Halo Effect, The March of the Unheard. This is their second album. I've posted a bunch of videos off of this album, and I do think that they've taken the band a step further. There are some clean vocals on here, which is what I was hoping for, especially after hearing Cemetery Skyline. And I think the musicianship is up on this, so I'm really happy with it. Cool. So all right. So I wish I could share what this says on screen. It's supposed to work and display, but I will just read it to you. So the question was, one word, what emotion does heavy metal evoke for you? And Brad said power. Tony said fury. So, very cool. All right.
I'm going to go with joy.
Joy.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to input that for you.
There we go.
Give you a Halo, effect song to check out. Okay, let me go into my trusty 2025 playlist. Last song played on here was Smith Kotzen, by the way. Actually enjoy that new song more than a lot of the stuff that they released on that first album.
I remember you described the first album as a little muddy. I think that was what you said at the time.
Yeah, I was expecting something different, to be honest.
Of course, me and Mike liked it and bought it.
Right.
But I know what you're saying. It has that sort of muddy production to it.
That's not the one. That's not the one. Come on, damn it. Play the last one. This Curse of Silence is the one that I really like. So, This Curse of Silence by the Halo Effect. So let's see how that affects the algorithm here. Okay. All right. Next question that I'm going to be throwing out there for you guys.
Ooh.
In a few words, how has hard rock or heavy metal influenced your personal music journey?
Cracking questions, these.
Yep. So let's move on to January 17th here. We had releases from Tokyo Blade, The Big Deal, Dunes, Dragon Knight, Godzillionaire, Gravedigger, Landfall, Hazard, Nesdom, Echoes, reissues from Datura and Buckcherry, live albums from Dark Fortress and Steve Hackett, as well as a compilations album from Wasp. The Seven Savage, 1984 through 1992 box set out on Mad Fish. First time I've ever heard of that label. So, Jeremy, what did you listen to this week?
Yeah, just to say, actually, that Wasp is on, it's just been released on CD because I already had it on vinyl. So okay. I bought that box set and it's fantastic. But yeah, they just released it on CD for those who want it on CD. This week I listened to a band called The Big Deal. It's an album called Electrified. And, you know, with a name like The Big Deal, you'd expect them to be good. Well, it's a Frontiers release. So, of course, it's very melodic. There are two female singers called Anna Nikolic and Navina Brankovic.
Okay.
And I guess with this one, you need to sort of imagine what ABBA might have gone on to do if they'd done melodic metal, because this is ABBA doing metal. So the voices are almost identical, and the songs have really great hooks, you know, in that sort of ABBA style, but less cheesy. Just think, you know, they've got rid of all that cheese. But by the way, this band does, in no way does it hail from Sweden, which is surprising because you'd expect it to, as 99% of heavy metal bands these days seem to come from Sweden. They're actually from Serbia. The girls can really sing. There was, a bit of sort of Mark Stanway, Magnum-style keyboards in among there. There's some very decent guitar solos, some very sort of classic guitar riffs. And it was very entertaining, you know, more entertaining than a symphonic metal outfit. And, you know, I get it if it's not your thing. You know, this sort of music doesn't appeal to all metal fans out there. But, you know, I really enjoyed it. So, it was, you know, it's good fun. But I went on to listen to Tokyo Blade with The Time Is The Fire. Not a band from Japan, of course. They hail from England. And, you know, they were founded back in 1982. Can you believe that? During the new wave of British heavy metal movement, or at least right. You know, just as it got going a bit. Most of the members as well, I didn't realise, are either sort of original or were part of the band in the 80s, including Alan Marsh, whose, vocals sort of give it a bit of modern Tigers of Pantang sound, because I think he sounds very similar to what they're doing. I think the album itself sort of follows a very sort of familiar path, you know, the hard-hitting guitars, very sort of solid, powerful production on it. I'd say the vocals do grate a little bit to me at times, but it's, you know, it's a fairly solid effort from a, you know, very genuine band. I'd be sort of happy to see this band live, you know, in a small arena or supported in a bigger band. Standout songs for me on this, well, I like the creepy sounding Man on the Stair. I liked also The Enemy Within. And then I realized that the two songs have a very, very similar beat and sound to them. So they sounded too much the same. But that slight oddity aside, you know, I found that, you know, they had a lot of decent tunes on this. And in a week in which, you know, I couldn't really pick much else, I think it's a worthy pick of the week.
Okay. And just so you know, Tokyo Blade at one point had Chris Gillan, who's the singer of Overloaded, a Detroit band, who Eric Kluber, my recent guest on the show, was a part of. So there's our one Tokyo Blade connection to this show. 6 degrees of connecting to Tokyo Blade.
There we go.
All right. So let's see, for me. And where's my notation here? Okay, here we go. For me, I checked out Dune's Land of the Blind. I checked out Gazillionaire's Diminishing Returns, both on Ripple. And both on number one and number two on the Doom charts I saw earlier today. Also checked out Gravedigger's Bone Collector. That's on Raining Phoenix. Heard an interview recently on Chris Aiken Presents, which I really enjoyed. So it made me want to check that one out. And that's the Gravedigger isn't bad. It's really a throwback to new album influence, the 80s heavy metal, basically. It's power metal. It's not bad, but for me, Dune's Land of the Blind just fit the bill more. I mean, I'm probably a bigger fan, and they're perfectly with a lot, whether that's anything else. So Dunes is my pick. Once again, the album is Dunes Land of the Blind. All right. January 24th, we had new releases from Bonfire, Wilderness, Labyrinth, Avatarium, Blacktoothed, Bumblefoot, The Ferryman, Harry Carey from the Sky, Vukovi, EP from Oni, reissue from August Burns Red, and a live album from Riverside. Jeremy, what did you check out this week?
Yeah, the month started badly for me with the sort of raw and almost laughable attempt at new Wobbon by Ice Walk or Venom. Sadly, the singer was very amateurish, and I couldn't really hack it beyond track two. So nothing more about that one. Up next was a trio of Frontiers albums. Avenger by Wildness I listened to, In the Vanishing Echoes of Goodbye by Labyrinth, and the latest effort by Bonfire, of course, titled Higher Ground. All three of these albums were very nicely produced, as you'd kind of expect from the label. Wildness are actually a band I know very little about. They're Swedish, of course, a bog-standard sort of melodic hard rock outfit that's, about a decade old now. It was a very nice listen. It wasn't very, it wasn't spectacular. I really thought the Labyrinth album was a lot better. They described themselves as an Italian power metal outfit. I think they're a little touch more progressive than the sort of average power metal act. They keep it heavy as well, which I like. I like Roberto Tyranti, or Rob Tyrant as he's known, on vocals. The band comes up with some, fairly epic and really engaging tunes. So if you like sort of Firewind, you like Sons of Apollo as I do, this album will, definitely appeal. But, Bonfire, they're obviously a well-known band for all us metal freaks, hard rock freaks, I guess. It's not long really since I purchased their first three albums, which they re-recorded with the current lineup. I didn't have them previously, so I thought I'd purchase those. And I play them a lot, to be honest, a great deal, probably, certainly every month. you kind of know what you're going to get with Bonfire. I mean, for the most part, this album is very solid. It, you know, the opening track, I Will Rise, is a very typical solid sort of guitar work, super melodies on it. And then the next one, Higher Ground, you know, has this sort of old style accept sort of style riff to it. There's a ballad, of course, on the album, and there's a, you know, sort of metally doomier offering with Come Hell or High Water, which I liked as well. It's a really great listen overall. I mean, not every song's a killer, which, you know, you don't get on every album anyway. But I like the band, and, you know, it's a really easy pick for me. This is definitely pick of the week.
All right. So while Jeremy was speaking here, I did upload the next question, which is, which subgenre do you prefer? You have to input one of the following numbers to vote. One is thrash, two is death metal, three is black metal, four is doom metal, five is power metal, six is glam metal, seven is prog metal, and eight is other, which is in the lead right now. That's why, and you know why it's other, because Brad is voting for prancy dancy keyboard metal. That's why. All right. Jeremy is entering five here. Power battle. All right, cool.
Of course.
Let's see here. Okay. So for me, I checked out Between You, God, the Devil, and the Dead by Avatarium. Checked out the Blacktoothed album, Headway. Checked out The Ferryman, Iron Will. That is one of Ronnie Romero's several projects.
Never heard of him.
You've heard of him?
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him, yeah. One of the questions next week will probably be... which band of Ronnie Romero's do you prefer? Harry Carey from the Sky Harakiri from the Sky. My bad. Scorched Earth, Vukovi, My God Has Got a Gun. And, let's see, an EP by Oni. Reissue from, I said this already. All right. What am I why am I reading this over again? See, this is why I can't do more than one thing at once, Jeremy. I'm thinking about the polls. I'm thinking about this. So I listened to the Avatarium album. I listened to the Blacktoothed album. I listened to the Ferryman album, and I listened to the, Harakiri from the Sky, however you say it, and Vukovi. And, I just make sure I have this correct here. Yeah, okay. So out of all of these, what kind of spoke to me was the Vukovi album. There were elements of industrial and electronic metal in this. Just something that I've always been a fan of. And as a result, it's what I went with. The Ferryman, to be honest with you, just bored me. I mean, Magnus Carlsen is a very talented songwriter, but he's trying to out frontiers with this. He was a staff writer for a long time, and I don't know, me personally, I thought it was, the musicianship is great, but just kind of didn't speak to me. And given the components there, you know, I was expecting something different. The Avatarium album had some things, you know, here and there that were cool, but for the most part, I'd have to go with the Vukovi album. So there you go. All right. This brings us to, and I forgot to mention that there was a Tiger Tales compilation. That was the UK's one true hair metal band that stood out above all the rest. So they released for a few dollars with a Z at the end, more. The Archives, Volume 1, 84 to 91.
I missed that. I'm going to get my stripy trousers out tomorrow and give that a listen.
There you go. All right. So for the 31st, we had albums from The City Is Ours, The Helicopters, The Night Flight Orchestra, Pentagram, All That Remains, Saliva, Kelsey Carter and the Heroines, Jay Jail, Rats of Gomorrah, Relics of Humanity, Kilmera, Jonathan Holton, Black Talon, live album from Hawkwind, and The Very Best of Dio Volume 2, released on a picture disc. So, what did you listen to this week, Jeremy?
Yep, I started out listening to Anti-Fragile, the studio album number 10 by All That Remains. As you know, they're from Springfield, Massachusetts. I can't honestly say it's a band that I've checked out that much before, but I thought I'd give it a listen. There's a real mixture of growly and clean vocals, which, I don't always like. A lot of generic stuff in there as well. But, overall, it wasn't bad. There were a few boundaries pushed, which, I kind of like sometimes and made it a bit more interesting. But sadly, as is kind of typical with this type of band, there just wasn't enough there to make me, fully interested in that album. But, hey, I gave it a listen. Scenes of Agony by Black Talon was more of my thing, really. It's a kind of a bog standard thrash act from Edinburgh in Scotland. I like some of the songs here. The Anthrax, they had a sort of bit of an anthraxy thing going on with a song called Obnoxion. But the problem was with the album, it was really let down by the production. Obviously the production budget was about £9.99, which is a real shame. They can't help it. They haven't got any money to spend on it. It's not their fault, but it sounds a bit very tinny, very thin. The drums sound like plastic pots that, from a kitchen. And, we know of one Metallica album that sounded like that. So, hey, they're not far behind. But you can't fault the band's enthusiasm. And that's what I like about thrash bands sometimes as well. And, the desire to just do something a little bit more interesting with the thrash genre as well, which was good. It was fun. And what I would say is that anyone who likes this band, you kind of like them, but you're not willing to go out and purchase the album because it sounds a bit badly produced. Just go out and see them live, because they're going to be a fun night out. And that's what I would always say about bands. If you don't like the albums, just go out and support them. So that was quite good. But the album that is my album of the week goes to the doom metal band Pentagram. Had a sort of stop-start career going way back to even the 1970s, really, when they first started up. This one's called Lightning in a Bottle. It's only their ninth studio album, I believe, since they started. It's not superb, but I really enjoy the guitar riffs. It's got that sort of quintessential 70s edge to it, which I liked. I like the song Dull Pain. It had a guitar solo in it, which I think you should listen to and tell me if it doesn't sound like Jimi Hendrix's All Along the Watchtower, because I think it sounds very, very similar. I was trying to think for ages as well, what does this sound like, as you do? And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm sure that's All Along the Watchtower. I've not gone back and listened to Jimmy afterwards, but I'm going to do that, and I'm sure there's a lot of similarity, let's say. I think Bobby Liebling, who's the vocalist, his voice has aged, obviously, because, the band had been going a long time. And he sounds a little bit like the UK band Demon, which we reviewed recently. So it's that sort of, what I would say, just an aged, very sort of deep voice, which is not to everybody's, not everyone's cup of tea, but, I quite enjoyed it. So, the guitarist Tony Reed, really good. And definitely a worthy album of the week.
Okay. I got to listen to that album by Pentagram as well. I listened to All That Remains, Anti-Fragile as well. What else? The Helicopters, Overdriver. Got a chance to listen to the Night Flight Orchestra, Give Us the Moon. If you've listened to any other Night Flight Orchestra albums, you've already heard this album. Listen, they've got some cool stuff that they've released over the years, but at this point, album number whatever it is, and still doing the same thing. I don't know. I've had enough with the other stuff, and I'm looking forward to the next Soil Work album personally. Let's see. I enjoyed the Pentagram album. I liked a lot of the music to it. Mm. There's definitely some weird melodies, though, like some interesting melodies with what Bobby's doing there. Mm. There are some things. It's interesting. I watched today the a Drumeo video where Kenny Arnoff is playing the old Yes song Changes, and just seeing how he interpreted that song. It was interesting how he found like different rhythm patterns listening to the music, as opposed to what Alan White, the original drummer, did on that album. And this is kind of similar, where I was hearing the riffs and hearing the music come in, and I was thinking, wow, this would be really, you know, this is going to be really neat. And then Bobby starts singing. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of slower than what I was anticipating, you know? So it's a good album. I get why you picked it as album of the week. Helicopters album. It's funny. I have to agree with Johan, because Johan, I believe, thinks that they're a very overhyped band. He's always said, if I'm not mistaken, that he doesn't really get them. And this album just totally lost me. Like, there was, I think the first single is really the only thing that I like off of it. My pick of the week is actually Anti-Fragile by All That Remains. All That Remains usually seems to have 2-3 songs that mix the right amount of melody with the right amount of heaviness for me. And it's kind of on par with that. And there's 2 songs off of this that will slot in nicely in my All That Remains playlist. So personally, I am happy to make this my pick of the week. So quickly here, I'll go back through the picks that we did have. The first week that we jumped on into, January 10th, Jeremy picked Moon Wizard, or Sirens by Moon Wizard. I picked The Halo Effect, March of the Unheard. For January 17th, Jeremy picked Time is the Fire by Tokyo Blade. I went with Land of the Blind by Dunes. January 24th, Jeremy went with Higher Ground by Bonfire, and I went with My God Has Got a Gun by Vukovi. And for January 31st, Jeremy went with Lightning in a Bottle by Pentagram, and I went with Anti-Fragile by All That Remains. Cool. So let's see. Tony here is saying, subject from a new episode by Martin Popoff, History in 5 Songs. Which 5 songs mean everything for Tony Espin through the years? Okay, what 5 songs?
Tell us, Tony, what your 5 songs are.
Tell us what your 5 songs are. Let's see what other interactiveness is here. I think it actually did post one of the things. Huh. That's interesting. So I'm seeing a spinning wheel. What, one of these typical like carnival wheels on my end. And it says, which subgenre should we discuss today, or should we explore today? The options were thrash, doom, glam metal, power metal, progressive metal, and black metal. And it fell on glam metal. But anyway. Let me see how this works here. Okay, I could have just done that by clicking that. Okay. So Tony says, need some time to go through the years from 82. So we all need that time. Cool. So let's discuss some other things that have been going on. Let's see here. If the chat loads real quick here and see if this graphic loads. It does not. All right. Anyway, let us continue. So there are some cool things that I do want to integrate. So we're going to move on to some other interesting topics. All right. So the final ever show by apparently Black Sabbath and Ozzy Osbourne will be taking place on July 5th at Villa Park in Birmingham in the UK. Back to the beginning, Geezer Butler, Tony Iommi, Ozzy Osbourne, and Bill Ward. So there will be performances by Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, Metallica, Slayer, Pantera, Gojira, Alice in Chains, Hailstorm, Lamb of God, Anthrax, Mastodon. Additional performances from Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins, David Draymond of Disturbed, Duff McKagan, Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit, Lizzie Hale, Jake Ely, Jonathan Davis Korn, KK Downing, Mike Borden of Faith No More, Papa V from Ghost, Rudy Sarzo, Sammy Hagar / Sleep Token 2 from Sleep Token, Tom Morello, and Wolfgang Van Halen. Tickets go on sale next Friday, Valentine's Day, and all proceeds will be donated equally to the following charities. Cure Parkinson's Birmingham Children's Hospital and Acorn Children's Hospice, a children's hospice supported by Aston Villa. So, can I close this? There we go. Okay, cool. Jeremy, your thoughts on this?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of thoughts on this. Maybe we just pick it apart piece by piece. I mean, the first thing just to say is that I'm so chuffed that they're supporting some charities with this. You know, all the profits going to charity, so that's great. I mean, I think that helps as well to persuade people to buy tickets to something where they might only see three or four songs by Black Sabbath being played live. You know, we're obviously not going to see an hour and a half of Sabbath up there. But it's an amazing bill of, you know, it's a sort of a tribute act to heavy metal, I guess. You know, it's a tribute to the heavy metal genre as much as it is to Black Sabbath. And we've got to remember, you know, all the members of Black Sabbath now are either 75 or 76 years old. So they're all cracking on, never mind Ozzy, you know, with his ill health. As we know, Tony Iommi's had a bit of cancer as well. I don't know if you've seen Geezer Butler lately, but he looks as if he's aged about 20 years in the last three. So, you know, this is it. This is the last chance to see them live together. I think even if Ozzy's very unwell, he'll be sitting down. He'll be helped. As we know, you know, there's going to be a lot of musical help. There's a lot of great acts on who are going to fill in if something does happen. You know, say, for instance, Ozzy can't sing at all, or he's so unwell that he can't turn up for this. Tony will play with Bill and Geezer. and I'm sure they'll get another singer in to sing some of the songs. I've got a feeling the all-star band that they've sort of set up is going to play just Sabbath songs. They're going to probably play the Sabbath songs that Sabbath aren't going to play. So it's all very choreographed. I mean, as you know, Tom Morello is acting as the musical director for the whole thing, and he's going to make sure that it's all really well done. So I think it's going to be great. I mean, it's in their home city. It's in their home region of the city in Aston. As you know, Geezer's a big fan of Villa, and I think a few of the others, they all like Villa, even if they don't sort of go. So it's going to be great, and I'm hoping to get a ticket. I'm really hoping to get one next week. And I hope they record it as well, because I think everyone should see, the last performances. I also think that maybe just to add something, I think Tony will actually play a little bit of his own bits to start with as well before Ozzy comes on, because I think Ozzy's only going to last 3-4 songs at most. So I've got a feeling Tony might play a solo bit before. Maybe even playing with some of the other singers.
Yeah, that's sort of based on what I've heard, because Andy Copping, is that the guy's name? The guy that does Download? He mentioned the Tom Morello bit, and he's already said that the other musicians, and there will be more people that will be announced, will be playing with different bands and in different configurations. So I'm actually thinking, similar to what you're saying, I think Sabbath is going to play Paranoid, Iron Man, and
War Pigs.
Yeah, I was trying to figure War Pigs or Children of the Grave.
One of the biggies.
I'm thinking Children of the Grave is probably easier to play.
Yeah.
They've already played. Sabbath has already played with Mike Borden on drums before, so that's not a stretch there at all.
Mm.
I'm guessing that since it's going to be Ozzy's last show, we're going to see Jake is there. We're going to hear Bark at the Moon played.
Yeah.
Crazy. Somebody's done Bark at the Moon with him.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be surprised if Crazy Train's not going to be played as
Crazy
well.
Crazy Train has to be played as well. Yeah. And then, as you're saying, I think we're going to get songs from throughout the catalog. A lot of these bands have covered Sabbath already. Anthrax has, Metallica has. So I think we're going to get some of that as well.
Do you think Ozzy's going to sit there and play Changes with his daughter as well? Do you think she'll come on and play?
Could be. And the other thing they've said, Ozzy can't walk anymore.
Yeah.
He said his voice is fine, but he just can't walk anymore.
Yeah. But do you remember the Commonwealth Games in 2022
when he came on
and played a few, and he was propped up with a stick? There was kind of like a physical stick that he was strapped to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So either that's going to happen again, or he's going to be sitting.
I think after seeing Phil Collins sitting, we will see that.
Yeah.
So, and it's interesting because let's pull this lineup back up again. Yeah, Slayer has done Sabbath, Pantera has done Sabbath, Anthrax has there won't be an issue with getting people to do some of this stuff. It's interesting also that Tom Morello is listed close to the bottom. So he's really not taking any type of, he's really not propping himself up, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah. The other interesting thing for me is, I mean, you've got Metallica there as a kind of a support act, which obviously is strange in itself because they're so massive themselves. And I'm wondering whether, do you think they'll actually play any of their own songs, or do you think they'll just play Sabbath songs?
I think we're going to get Metallica playing Sabracadabra, which they have on Garage Inc.
Mm.
They also were part of, they played it, the induction of Sabbath at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Again, I think a lot of these bands are going to be playing two or three songs. So I do think that that Sabbath is going to play some, or not Sabbath, that Metallica is probably going to play a song or two of theirs, maybe, and maybe two or three Metallica songs, because how else are you fitting all of these bands in there?
Yeah.
Let's see. Brad Dahl. I doubt Jake will be allowed to play with Ozzy. I'm amazed he was invited. Would be amazed if Bob Daisley was invited. Bob Daisley has actually said he's glad he was not invited. Apparently, Tom Morello has reached out to Jakey Lee, and he's the one that's made that and Rudy Sarzo happen. So, it would be hard to find someone who has never played a Sabbath song. True.
Yeah. The other thing is, even if you haven't played a Sabbath song, I'm sure they would just, you know, practice one and or a few and play a few, yeah, just as a tribute. Because I think the whole thing is essentially, it's just a tribute, isn't it?
Yeah. Edgar Winterson is saying that
let's hope not.
Metallica will do a Lou Reed set. So who will step in and say Spermless Like a Girl for 7 minutes? Unless they just bring up this is freezing a lot tonight. Let's go. Daisley has said he wasn't invited. There are enough Sabbath and Ozzy songs for everyone. Good point.
Mm. Yeah.
So, I mean, I wish I could go. Wish it was closer. I'm sure it's not going to be cheap. What are you willing to pay for a ticket to see this?
That's a good question. Good question. I was sort of hovering and ahhing as to think what, how much they're going to charge for it, because there's a hell of a lot of bands on. And then again, I was thinking, you know, some of the profits are going to charity, so I've got to be a bit generous here and think that, you know, I don't mind giving away some of that money to the charities. So I'm thinking they're going to price it around the £150-160 mark.
For the cheapest tickets?
No, that'll be the ticket, because it'll be on the pitch. So they'll be standing on the pitch.
Okay.
And they'll be sitting in the stand, but the pitch prices will be the more expensive. They might have a golden circle, I don't know. But I've got a feeling, because it's a charity show, they might not have the golden circle on the pitch, and they might just charge the one price. I'm thinking that most of the people involved are not getting paid for it. I think they've been asked to do it for the charity, because I think Sharon's stuck her oar in here and has said to all of these bands, you know, this is a charity gig. Can you play it? And they've all said, yeah, I'll come and turn up and do a few songs.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. I think that Sharon's going to make the money after this show. I think that the show doesn't make any money. They're going to sell shirts, obviously, at the show, but they're going to sell the DVD. They're going to sell the film. It's all going to be the after stuff. And the vinyl. There'll be a record of it.
I think that that's what they'll do as well. I mean, I mentioned this the other day to all of you guys, the whole Freddie Mercury tribute concert is a good and possibly pay-per-view. That's another one. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they did that as well.
Yeah, I mean, she's not said that she's not going to record it as well. You know, when Oasis came and said that they were going to do their shows, they said that they weren't going to film it. You can't watch it. You have to go and see the show live. Mm-hmm. Well, she's not said that. So, you know, maybe on the day they're going to film it live. Maybe it's live on TV. Maybe they're going to record it and play it some other time. Maybe you could pay-per-view, yeah.
Live cast on Netflix. That's also a possibility that someone like a Netflix or Amazon comes along and says, hey, we'll buy the rights.
Yeah. The other thing they might do is they might do it live in cinemas because they have done that before with a show or two.
Live on Channel 5. There you go. okay. Next topic that we're going to discuss here. Wish I could use one of his actual riffs, but.
Almost.
I wanted the riff for Bad Boys, the White Snake song. But Jeremy, you and I have been talking about John Sykes for years. When will we see John Sykes? When is John Sykes coming back? And I think we were all surprised when we found out he had cancer and that he had passed away. Really sad news. I'm not the hugest Whitesnake fan. I don't profess to be a Whitesnake fan at all. But I like his era of the band. You know, the songs that he wrote and he played on. Thin Lizzy's similar. That's the era that I like the most of that band also. Blue Murder. That first Blue Murder album is an absolute classic. You know, there's no other way of looking at it. All these years we were joking about it, and it's unfortunate that he has passed away.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of people that have complained, for example, that the Grammys didn't make any note of it, and it was a big deal on the BBC. It was a big deal in several newspapers around the world. Yet, the quote-unquote biggest music awards show didn't care. Didn't care enough to say anything about him. So, what was it like for you when you found out about it, and was the coverage that big of a deal back in the UK?
Yeah, there was limited coverage, I would say, which I kind of expected, because unless it's one of the major front men or the major guitarists in heavy metal, you're not going to get a huge amount of coverage here, because it's that kind of genre of music that doesn't cut it with the mainstream media. I personally was quite shocked when I heard the news, because I knew he wasn't that old. You know, he's only, in his 60s.
Yeah.
And I not heard anything like you that he'd been ill. So that was quite shocking. And it kind of explains why he's been away and probably missing off the scene for quite some time. As we know, you know, he'd come up with a few songs which he'd released. And he was on about doing this album. I think it was called Psychops or something like that. Just a bit shocked with it all. Quite sad, really, because I'd seen him live several times. I stood next to him at a show once by accident. He came out when during the Deep Purple show. Thin Lizzy, that he was fronting at the time, was the support act, and then there was another band on. I think it might have been Thunder. And then while Deep Purple, the headliners, came on, I was standing right next to the soundboard at the MEN Arena in Manchester, and he came out and just stood right next to me and watched Deep Purple. Just watched a few of the songs with the bass player out of Thin Lizzy. I've forgotten his name now, with the black hair. You'll know. Yeah, that's him, yeah. The two of them were standing next to each other, and he was standing right next to me. But of course, I didn't speak to him. I didn't want to interrupt him. He was just enjoying the band. And he was a proper rock star. He had the hair, he had the looks, he had the chops. He obviously was a proper rock star because he made his name a little bit in Tigers of Pantang and then moved on to Thin Lizzy straight away and flew from there, really. As you know, he went into Whitesnake after that. I mean, I saw him in 1983 at the Royal Court in Liverpool with Thin Lizzy, and all I went for was to see him. I wasn't interested in Thin Lizzy that much. You know, I love Thin Lizzy, but I only went to see him because he was a rock star. And when you're a 16-year-old guy and you're getting into heavy metal, you have rock stars that you look up to. You honor and cherish like they're almost gods, really. And he was one of them. He looked the part. I wanted to be. I think everyone I knew wanted to be a John Sykes. With those long curly locks and, you know, the guitar he had, the black Gibson. He was great. I mean, he wasn't the very greatest guitar player. You know, Eddie Van Halen was the greatest guitar player or whoever else. But he was a proper metal guy. And he brought on Thin Lizzy and turned them into a proper metally sort of melodic band, didn't he? That Thunder and Lightning album is a cracker.
Yeah, just to answer Edgar here, he said, I doubt one person who watched the Grammys has ever heard of Whitesnake, never mind John Sykes. Here I go again, and Is This Love are massive songs in the U.S. They were on top 40 radio, and they still get played anytime that they do any type of 80s on Saturday or whatever, you know, your typical Saturday night show where they revisit anything that's remotely pop orientated. Both of those songs get played. So, yeah, there are people that know who Whitesnake are, or at least they've heard their music. Maybe they don't know that it's Whitesnake. How about that? I think that the Grammys are similar to Rolling Stone, where they're trolling the audience because they know they're going to get a rise. They know that they're going to get people to complain. And it's sad, but it is what it is. You know, they also didn't mention Jack Russell, who passed away a few months ago, who we talked about, and also did not mention. There's a third here. Yeah, now I'm kicking myself that I don't remember. Oh, Paul Di'Anno is the other one. They didn't mention Paul Di'Anno yet. Paul Di'Anno was front page news all over the world. So it's sad. It's sad, and it's funny because a lot of these so-called institutions within the U.S., a lot of these organizations think that they're the be-all, end-all. And you talk to Johan, you talk to people like you and stuff like that. And it turns out that no one kind of cares outside of the U.S. about any of these shows, about any of these award shows, about any of these halls of fame or anything like that. Poppy versus Courtney LaPlante. Courtney of Spirit Box. And Brad, I'm going to need that ginkgo shortly because I'm struggling thinking of band names tonight for whatever reason. See, kids, get 8 hours of sleep. It makes a difference when you only sleep 5 hours. Brain just isn't working as well. So yeah, so some reporter went up to Courtney from Spirit Box and thought she was Poppy, and Courtney and Poppy get along because Poppy has performed with them recently, did one of their recent singles, Soft Spine, with them on stage. And so when the reporter started calling her Poppy, she just went with it and did like a bogus interview saying, you know, and good for her, you know, that somebody doesn't know enough to know who somebody is at the Grammys, yet you're going to proceed and ask them certain questions. That kills me. Again, it comes back to someone like myself and my 5,270 posts on Patreon, priding themselves in working and researching and getting good questions for people or semi-decent questions for people, as opposed to, hey, Poppy, you know. What's the name of your latest album? When does it come out? When's the tour? You know, all that shit. So, yeah, it's just dumb. And the person that asked her that should be ashamed of themselves. I mean, I hope that they're getting ridiculed for this. Edgar's saying, did David Soul's death even get mentioned? Who is David Soul? It's my question.
That's Starsky and Hutch.
Is it?
Can't remember the Starsky or Hutch. Starsky. Or Hutch. Silver Lady is never off my turntable. Hutch. There you go.
Hutch. Okay.
I remember how they used to slip inside that car without opening the door. Through the window.
My uncle had a Gran Torino, but it was green. It was not red with the stripe on it. And interestingly enough, a few weeks
I do remember he was a
to the Rensselaer Owen Wilson's.
Yeah. Okay. Victor doesn't know.
So look at that.
There is a pop star.
No, I don't. That's like a David Hasselhoff type thing where, yeah, you know, you see footage over the years and whatnot, but you're not exactly sure, you know? So, because back in the day, okay, so he meant me, not you. Okay. So I guess that was a big hit in the UK, I guess, Silver Lady.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I remember it on Top of the Pops. Yeah. Talking of Top of the Pops, just a lovely link into Tigers of Pantang. The first time I ever saw John Sykes was on, they played Love Potion Number 9, which was a copy, as you know, it wasn't an original song.
Yeah.
And I heard it on the radio, actually, first time, and then they played it on Top of the Pops. And it's fantastic. I love that song. And I loved watching them play it. I think it really sort of gave the band a bit of a lift. In fact, it got in the charts, I think, at the time. Got in the singles charts. Probably, you know, quite low down, but...
Still made it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, cool. Guys, I do want to thank everyone who's joined us tonight. Obviously, Brad, Tony, who've been here for the good hour-long chat here. Edgar joined us as well. Edgar, you need to start joining us at the 10 o'clock hour on your end. And Jeremy, thank you once again. We will be back next month with another one of these fun album reviews. Hope it helped you guys out. And wish I could play... a little Silver Lady for you guys now, but unfortunately, it's just not in the cards. So, There you go. Edgar Winterson says he always forgets he's old. We're all old, damn it.
Yeah.
So anyway, on that note, thank you guys so much for listening or watching the show live or the replay. And we shall see you next time right here on Signals from Mars. See you, folks.
Subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.